9:30.
GTO Girls Time Out will be traveling to Dahlonega on November the 30th. To gain more information about this event, you can stay over for a brief meeting after both services today in front of the sanctuary.
Real Life Christian Church has the opportunity to bring blessings to many families in our area. We've collected names of families from some local school guidance counselors who could use some extra help for Christmas. Please consider making a donation above and beyond your regular contributions and designating that donation for Christmas for Kids. Together, let's make Christmas truly special for these deserving families.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful.
Surrender now.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here this morning. If you would, please pray with me as we open up the service. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the very breath that you put in our lungs. Thank you so much for waking us up this morning. Thank you so much for all the gifts that you give us. Lord, there's some of us that are having the best day of our lives ever, and there's some of us that are having the worst days, and some of us that are in between. And Lord, we just ask that we praise you anyway. And Lord, thank you so much for everything that you give us. Please be with us in this service, and please just fill this entire sanctuary full of your Holy Spirit so that we can be renewed and praise your name. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. There's something that I ran across recently that I wanted to share. I'm sorry, you guys can be seated if you'd like. There's something that I ran across recently that I wanted to share with you guys. And we do not sing because we need a warm-up right before the sermon. We don't sing so that people have time to get to their seats. We don't sing because we need to be entertained. We sing because God is good. We sing because God is worthy. We sing because it is a communal act of unity in which we declare the glory of God, the gravity of our own sin, and the grandeur of grace.
I am guilty, ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy. Life.
give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we
today is the 249th birthday of the Marine Corps. So happy birthday, Marine Corps. And also, tomorrow is Veterans Day. Veterans Day became a national holiday back in 1938, and it honors all American veterans, living or dead, but especially gives thanks to living veterans who have served their country honorably during war or peacetime. So thank you all to the veterans who are here today. There is a quote I like from Dennis Edward O'Brien, Sergeant USMC. The entire quote is great, but I'm only reading the first few lines. Only two defining forces have ever offered to die for you, Jesus Christ and the American soldier. One died for your soul, the other for your freedom. That's a great quote, but I believe that Jesus actually died for both, salvation for our souls, and freedom from the bondage of sin. Let's remember Jesus for just a minute. He was born of a virgin. Matthew 1, 25 and 24 and 25 says, and Jesus woke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. He lived a perfect life. Hebrews 5, 8, 9 tells us, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Jesus also died for our sins, and he rose from the dead. As it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. And Jesus also ascended back into heaven and is sitting at the right hand of God. Mark 16, 19 says, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. So at this time, as you guys are taking the bread and drinking of the cup, do as we are commanded to do in Luke 22, 19 and 20. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. This do in remembrance of me, he said. Remember the cruel death Jesus endured, the stripes on his tortured body, the blood he shed, all because he loves us. He took our place and paid a debt we could not pay. Thanks to his sacrifice, forgiveness and eternal life is ours for the asking. Let's remember. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for the amazing sacrifice of Jesus. We ask you bless the bread and the cup as we remember. Help us go from here and live the life you would have us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we come to our offering time, and you'll see up on the screen here in just a minute all the many different ways that you can give your monetary offering to the Lord. The Bible has a lot to say about giving. Jesus tells us that our attitude towards money is indicative of the focus of our hearts. Matthew 6:21 said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And giving is to be done with thoughtfulness, sacrifice, generosity, and joy. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please bless the giver today. Bless the gift that is being given, whether it is in money, talent, or time, Lord. You can use all of it. But as you said in your word, money is indicative of where our focus is. So, Lord, bless this money as it's received. Help this church to use it to the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Are you all just glad that we're done talking about money? Yeah, here we go again. So, they're so glad they're going to play that one all over again. You know, all right, if you all got this in your seats, if you all don't know, right now media is available to you. And this is it's a very unique resource that is Christian-based. It's a lot like the Christian version of Netflix or Hulu. And really, there's tons of stuff on there. If you've got kids, there's good Christian programming. All you got to do is scan that QR code. It'll send you there. You can watch it on your phone, on your TV, on your computer. And plus, this year, we're going to do an Advent series as a church together on one night during the week. And unless you have subscribed, and it doesn't cost you anything, you won't get to participate. Uh-oh. I forced your hand there a little, didn't I? But look into that and just sign up. The church provides you with that. And so if we're investing in it, we want you to invest in it as well. And if we didn't believe in it, we wouldn't invest in it. So it's for your spiritual good. So today, we are going to talk about gratitude and with the receiving and giving of God's grace. Now, here's the way this is going to go. We're going to talk about how thankful we are. Are you all thankful? Yeah, I'm thankful that summer finally stopped. Aren't you? You know, but our nation is like many other nations. We celebrate celebrities every year, but we celebrate those that passed on through the year, don't we? We talk about it, get a list every year of all the famous people who died. Well, this year, two people in particular actually affected me this year for a change. It was James Earl Jones and Carl Weathers. You know, the idea of those two guys, you know, watching them in Rocky or Mandalorian, or if you were watching James Earl Jones, he was just the voice of everything, wasn't he? I mean, let's just face it. Well, when I got into that, I grew up watching these guys in these various roles, and to see their names in headlines as dead, no longer alive, never to be seen in any more movies, it actually caused me to mourn just a little. I actually mourned those guys not there because I love movies. But I've learned that as I grow older, I mourn a little differently than I used to. I realized that these guys had achieved a greatness in their own right. They left a legacy behind, a significance in their life that for lots of us will carry on because we will remember that. And even our kids will remember it because we made them watch the movies. And as we realized that, I began to think about my own achievements, my own significance. I mean, am I all alone in this thought pattern when it comes with the shock that one day, too, I'll be gone from this world? Does that ever shock you? I mean, within this wrestle of life's significance, we can ask our questions such as these. You know, what is most important in life? You've asked yourself that, haven't you? I mean, or how do I live fully so that I'm ready to die? How do I live that full life so that when I go, I will feel like I have lived? Or will I leave a legacy that benefits those that I leave behind? And how will what I build in this life carry on into eternity? Those are great questions, aren't they? And those are some that we should all ponder. You know, as humans, a desire of being of worth, of significance, is kind of part of our DNA. We want to feel valuable. You know, although significance is in the eye of the beholder, if we believe our life carries weight of goodness that benefits the world and those we love now and in the hereafter, we desire to leave this world knowing that what we live served a purpose. We desire to know that when we die, we leave this world, there was a reason we were here. Isn't there? And that reason matters. And it will shape so much of what we do from this point on till we leave this world. So what makes our life significant? What makes it significant? We know that work and play and stuff, the tribe of people, our house, our investments, or even our service can add value to our lives, but those things don't necessarily define it. So if I want my life to be significant, if I want my life to mean something, what underlying values or practices should I be participating in so that it's significant now and in the hereafter? The Bible says that the practice of gratitude gives us a life here and after of significance. Through gratitude, we appreciate life's goodness. And that appreciating life's goodness, being thankful for the good things in life, is what compels us to pay that goodness forward. Gratitude creates within us a deep sense of happiness and satisfaction, in which enriches our relationships. Gratitude makes us better people, doesn't it? How many of you like that grumpy, ungrateful person? Do you like those people? Nope, we don't like those people. You know, when we are grateful, it enriches our relationships and it nurtures the formation of new friendships and underlies the very foundation of human society. So what is gratitude? Well, I'm going to define it. Gratitude is the practice of actively remembering and expressing the grace, the benefits that we don't deserve, and goodness bestowed in our lives. That means actively remembering it, that things are good. Because we have an innate desire to show gratitude for the goodness and grace that we receive. I mean, early in the Bible, we witness one of the first acts of gratitude through the life of Noah in Genesis chapter 8. We're going to read these five verses just to get started. Then God said to Noah, go out from the ark, you and your wife, and your sons and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you, and all of the flesh, birds, animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast from the creeping thing and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now, there's a lot in there. I mean, there's a ton. After being on the ark for what looked like almost a year, Noah walks off the boat, and then Noah builds an altar to the Lord. So Noah's first recorded act on leaving the ark was an act of gratitude, an act of thankfulness. And when you're listening or reading to this story, it's easy to read it over and not catch everything. Without close reading, it appears to be a very simple practice, doesn't it? That's what you would do. But when we do a little more digging, we see that it's an extraordinary act of thankfulness. Now, first of all, I want you to think about this. Noah spent what scientists and theologians believe was about 356 days on the ark. 356 days in that box. And as he walks off the plank, Noah makes a conscious decision that the very first thing he will do is say, thank you. Thank you to God. Now, God didn't direct him to do it. God didn't say, go do this. He did it on his own. And at this time in ancient Near Eastern civilization, God hadn't given any commandments or statutes regarding worship. He didn't have any guidelines like we do in the scripture on worship. There was no organized religion and faith. That practice didn't happen until thousands of years later in Exodus 20. Noah and his family had been the only followers of God amongst a society of evil heathens. They were it. They were the only believers in the one true God. Everybody else had to die. They didn't have a church family. They didn't go to church and sing songs and throw their hands up. They didn't take communion every week to remember. They didn't have that. Offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving was not a social, religious, economic habit of his day. The ancient Near Eastern pagan worship was, they made sacrifices to false gods, but it was to appease the gods, not for thankfulness. They made sacrifices to try to make the gods be happy with them, you know, or not destroy them. Well, Noah didn't offer a sacrifice out of the need to have a good fortune. He'd already had it. He didn't do it to keep God happy or to appease him. He offered a sacrifice out of a heart of gratitude. Heart of gratitude. His natural inclination upon leaving his huge wooden box was to say thank you. Thank you. Now let's consider a few of the things Noah could have done upon leaving the ark and taking a moment to imagine ourselves in this scenario. For almost a solid year, you're stuck in this dark ship with the stench of all those animals. Can you imagine? I mean, you do know all those animals still had to go to the bathroom. Yeah, well, TMI. Well, I mean, just imagine. You're shut up in this big box with all these animals that are using the bathroom. And I don't know about you, but I grew up on a farm in the barn, and, well, it wasn't pleasant. When Dad handed you the shovel, you knew what he meant, you know. Well, during this time, you know, you've been tossed around in the Near Eastern world by the winds and the waves, and it's not necessarily a smooth ride on nice Caribbean seas. So everybody's probably seasick too. And when the ark finally banks itself on this mountaintop, you can walk out and there's fresh air. Can you imagine what your first act in this new world would be? Yes. Would it be to build an altar and say thank you to God? Thank you. It was Noah's. He had the right attitude. But how does God respond to this act of gratitude? How does God respond? Knowing God knows Noah's heart and understood that Noah leaving the ship and offering a sacrifice was more than just a sacrifice. It was thankfulness. And look what he says here in 8:21 through 9:1. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said this in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Boy, we're doomed right there. You see that? Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Did you see God's reaction there? The aroma of Noah's sacrifice drifted up to the Lord, and it touched his heart, and he says, I won't do this again. We're all alive right now because of Noah's thankfulness. You know that? Because I know the evil that's out there, don't you? And I'm thankful that God lets me live a little longer so I could straighten myself up a little bit anyway. And God blessed Noah. Blessing Noah was not the response, anything Noah had earned. He didn't earn that blessing. His blessing was not because he was a stellar ship captain who kept the morale of his crew in high spirits. And it wasn't for even completing the ark according to God's building code or his reward for his exceptional care of the last remaining creatures on earth. His blessing was a response to his attitude of gratitude. That was his blessing. It wasn't a response to his obedience. Even though blessings do come from choosing obedience, that's not the reason he was blessed here. In the story, we learn that Noah received his blessing because he chose to worship, and that pleased the Lord. To worship. Because his heart was thankful, Noah's emotion overflowed into an act of gratitude, an offering. An offering. Noah was thankful. The English word for gratitude comes from the Latin word gratia. And it means to give thanks. And the Bible takes this one word definition further. The Bible, the word gratitude is the word eucharista, which stems from the word charis, which means grace. And you know what grace is, right? A favor, an act of goodwill, and loving kindness for which we do not deserve. Well, eucharista, an offering of thanks out of the abundance of grace shown to us. It's thankfulness for the grace shown to us. It's give thanks for the Lord with pleasure and delight, for we receive delight and pleasure from his grace. And this thankfulness is not a horizontal practice. It's not a give and take to and from. Grace does not travel one way and then come back again. Eucharista, Eucharista, the Eucharist. You know what the Eucharist is, right? Do I need to go into that? Maybe I do. That's another lesson for another day. But the Eucharist is what we do when we partake in communion. It's the remembering. And this is thankfulness on another level. Now, you want to think about that. Eucharista is it's reciprocal. It's the cycle of giving and receiving all at the same time. It's grace abounding. Abounding. The Bible tells us that God does not desire sacrifice for sacrifice's sake. Don't do it just because you do it. Do it because you have the heart of thankfulness. He delights in our expression, our declared praise and adoration, which is an outward expression of what's really in our heart. Do you know you can't fake thankfulness? Do you know that? We'll get into that in a minute, but you can't fake it. It's got to be real. God knows your heart. You can say thank you all you want to, but if you don't mean it, He knows. Just like you know whether your kid is truly thankful or not. We've all had our kid go, thank you, and you go, no, not really. Right? But by choosing to practice gratitude, we choose the grace that God has freely offered us, and we offer it freely back to Him and to others. It's important to note that gratitude we're talking about here is much more than a thank you utterance. Practicing Eucharista flows out of an attitude of thankfulness. And I'm just going to tell you, some of you got bad attitudes. Some of us, we all fall into that category sometimes, don't we? Sometimes we're just not thankful for the blessings we got because we're too busy looking at what Mr. Jones has got in his door. The gratitude for God's grace is more than a mere recognition of God's grace. It's a felt response, which naturally demands that we express this response. I read a news article this week about a police officer, and there was this man threatening to jump off a high building. And when I was doing this, I came up to the audio where you can actually hear this conversation going on, and I would love to have played it for you, but I couldn't figure out how to pull it off of there. So you're going to have to listen to me talk about it. Well, the officer arrived on the scene, and the man was on the ledge, and he just positioned himself to jump, and he kept saying this over and over and over again. He said, nobody loves me. Nobody cares if I die, and no one will miss me. That's what this guy kept saying. And the officer said it was as if the man's despair was so painfully evident that he repeated it over and over and over again. He just knew that nobody loves me. Nobody's going to miss me. Nobody cares for me. And as the officers tried to talk him off the ledge, the officer realized that it was getting worse, not better. And that this man was going to really jump. And the officer witnessed this man's pain, and he could see this man's pain all over him. And all he could think at this minute was, I love this man. I really care for this man. So this is what the officer offered this man on the ledge. The feeling of love that he had for him, he offered that to him. And as he continued to vocalize his brokenness, the officer kept saying, don't jump. I love you. You're loved. You're not alone, and someone cares for you. I care for you. I love you. And he kept saying it over and over and over again. And listening to this, as I was listening to it, it was like, oh my goodness, he means it. You could hear it in his voice. And the officer said this repeatedly, and you find this, you know, on the internet. You can look it up. It's out there. You can listen to it for yourself. I should have put the link up there so you could check it out. But the surrounding officers testified that these words brought the man out of his trance of despair. That as the officer continued to tell the stranger on the ledge that he loved him, that the man climbed off the ledge and just fell into the officer's arms sobbing. And the officer just kept repeating, I do love you. I do care for you. And when the reporters asked the officer why he felt this way towards the man, he didn't even know. He just said, I just felt that I loved him even though I didn't know him. And it broke my heart to see him feel unloved. Because I am loved, I knew I loved him. That is God's grace poured out in an expression of love. Knowing that you are so loved that you love those people you don't even know. When we receive God's grace in our life, we naturally want to express it. We want to express it. We don't always know how it's going to come out or how it's going to be used or where it will go. But when His grace is received, It desires to be expressed. It's easy not to recognize God's grace in our life, isn't it? When life's good, when our greater needs are met. It's easy not to recognize God's grace when all the bills are paid and things are going great. It's easy to miss it. But when you're the recipient of this sudden unmerited generosity, like I said, children are perfect examples. One of the biggest tasks we have as parents is to raise polite, emotionally aired children who say what? Well, how much time do we spend with our kids trying to teach them that? At a child's birthday party, we continually remind our children, say thank you. When our kids were small, we would go to the grocery store and they'd run to the bakery and get a free cookie. You know, it's like you walk in, they disappear, you knew where they went. And you'd get over there, and what'd you say? Before the baker ever gave it to them, say thank you. Say thank you. Isn't that what we did? We wanted them to always be thankful for this free, undeserved gift. You know, I would venture to say that some of our most humiliating moments as parents is when our childs are ungrateful. Isn't it? Isn't that humiliating? When words and actions are perceived as disrespect. You know, I've also said, and I've heard many parents say, be respectful, say thank you. I can remember, you know, when my kids were little, we'd all gather at their parents' house, whether it be at my parents or Leslie's grandparents, we'd all gather together and have these big opening ceremonies where we'd open all the gifts. And they have this big pile of gifts, and they're tearing them open with vigor. And if it's something good, it's, yes, thank you. And then they open some up, and it's underwear or socks. And you can see they're not real thankful. And they do this. Never say thank you. You've seen it, right? You've probably done it. Some of you this last Christmas. But when their kids do that, you're like, oh no, you got to say thank you for that. And they're like, thank you, right? Thank you. Even though it's the one thing they're going to use more than anything else through the year, thank you. I really didn't want any underwear, but thank you, you know. But, you know, when it comes to some of the smaller graces in life, or better put, the more subtle graces in life, because we do not feel them at the moment, we often fail to recognize them as part of God's abundant grace throughout our day. You know what I mean? I used to work with this guy. I thought he was crazy. He'd get a Snickers bar, and he'd sit down and he'd bless that Snickers bar and thank God for it. I was too busy eating mine. But he had it right and I had it wrong, didn't he? Didn't he? The litmus test for identifying God's grace in our life is in and of itself our practice of gratitude. When does God offer me grace for His grace in my life? It's only at the dinner table? Is that the only time I ever say thank you? I mean, I'm thankful. You can look at me and tell me I'm thankful for the dinner table. But is that the only time I say thank you? Do I take the time to consider the moments of God's goodness and kindness throughout the day? When I get up in the morning, do I like David, say thank you, God, for another morning with new mercies? When we slow down and take the time to recognize the grace in our life as believers, we will desire thankfulness. We need to recognize the grace in our life. Because you know what you and I deserve? Nothing. I don't care how good you think you are, you're not good enough. We deserve no grace, yet He gives it to us. When does God hear me offer for grace? Well, not enough. And if God's grace is all around us and in us and working through us, then we intrinsically desire a willingness to show and receive gratitude at recognizing God's grace. And you know what? We are expected to do so. You know, gratitude is the practice of remembering God's grace. There's this ritual tucked away in the middle of the Passover, and I know you all are getting hungry, but you got to give me just a minute. I want you to get this. This is where it all kind of falls together. There's a ritual tucked in the middle of this Passover story that is often unnoticed. And unless you're familiar with the Jewish tradition, you probably have heard little to nothing about it. You know how the Passover story goes. It's the last of the plagues against Pharaoh after he's denied Moses' request to let his people go. And the death angel is coming to kill the firstborn of every family, the firstborn son. Well, the Israelites are to kill a lamb, take the blood, and paint the doorpost so that the death angel will pass over them and not take their firstborn. Kind of gruesome sounding, isn't it? But before Passover night, the Lord gave clear and precise instructions to the Israelite people regarding the actual Passover event. How the Israelites were even going to leave Egypt and the ritual and the practices of the Passover tradition that was going to come long after. And you do know that the Passover is what they were celebrating just before Jesus went to the cross. So after directing the Israelites in the events of the Passover night, Moses informs the Israelites that they will be practicing a feast, a Passover feast, that will be a ritual for generations to come. And speaking on behalf of God, here's what Moses said to them. He said, "You must keep this command as a law for you and your descendants from now on. Do this when you go to the land the Lord has promised you to give you. When your children ask you, 'Why are we doing these things?' you will say, 'This is the Passover sacrifice to honor the Lord. When we were in Egypt, the Lord passed over the houses of Israel, and he killed the Egyptians and saved our homes.' Then the people bowed down and worshiped the Lord." Now you may be wondering, what does this passage have to do with gratitude or grace? So hang in here with me. God knows humans are forgetful. Are y'all forgetful? How many of you have already forgot we're having Thanksgiving dinner next week? Okay. All right, don't hold up your hand because it'd be all of you. He also knows that nations commonly repeat the same mistakes throughout history for one primary reason. They forget their lessons from their past. That's the reason nations fail. And God knew that if he did not set a future practice in place to help the Israelites remember their salvation from Egypt, they would eventually forget his extravagant act of grace. And his significant event would be lost to his people. Their lack of remembrance would lead to a lack of gratitude. And without gratitude towards the Lord for what he had done, their hearts would grow hard and they would forget the Lord's salvation and they would end up again as slaves. And how many times through the history of the Jewish people did they end up as slaves? Countless. Because they forgot. That's the reason we take the Lord's Supper every week. A lot of people go, "Well, it's just a habit." No, it's not a habit. It's a remembrance. It's worth remembering every week, isn't it? I don't want to forget what Jesus has done for me. And you know what? Here's the honest truth. Most Protestant Christian believers know more about the Passover than the Jewish people because we remember. And they have forgotten. Think about that. It's the truth. Especially, now I'm not saying the ones that live in Israel, they probably practice it all the time. But the Jews scattered throughout the world, most of them don't practice it like they should. They don't remember. You know, when children ask, "What do we practice the Passover?" God wanted adults to respond by remembering the Passover with gratitude for their salvation. And we should do that with our children. When kids ask, "Why do we go to church?" we say, "Because we want to remember what God did for us." Why do we take the Lord's Supper? Because we want to remember that Jesus died on the cross for us. And we do it with gratitude for our salvation. And although the word gratitude is not mentioned, it's implied as part of their salvation's ongoing work. You know, if they wanted to live as a nation in significance and not fall back into a nation of slaves once again, they had to practice remembering God in their life. And I dare say that we don't remember enough from Sunday to Sunday through the week. We just let it go. How many times have we not stopped and said thank you to the Lord for our Snickers bar? Or even bigger things. When you write the check to pay your mortgage, do you say thank you, Lord? When you come out of the grocery store with four bags for $400, do you say thank you, Lord? We should, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we say thank you? We should. You know, practicing gratitude and receiving, expressing God's grace is the foundation for living a life of significance. If you want your life to matter, thank God for it. Gratitude is a fluid virtue, and other virtues such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, thankfulness, self, you know, all of that out of Galatians 5. If you want all of that, it won't be there unless you have gratitude. God's grace, the practice of gratitude, most of all virtues are built upon living out a state of thankfulness. Cicero said that gratitude is the mother of all remaining virtues. And Seneca, here's what he said, believed that the spirit of ungratefulness ranked below thieves, rapists, and adulterers. If you were ungrateful, you were worse than them. Our desire to express and receive grace is what makes life significant. When we ask ourselves what is the most important thing that we must assess within the realm of grace, how grateful we are. I dare say we're not grateful near enough. For if practicing gratitude is the virtue that surpasses all other virtues, then anything of importance would have to be built on living out of God's grace and expressing God's grace through gratitude. You know, just like the officer talked the gentleman off the ledge, something deeply ingrained in his human nature inspired him to share what he felt in his own life with that man. So these questions, what's most important in your life? Your salvation, right? How do I live fully so that I'm ready to die? Thankful for that salvation, right? Will I leave a legacy that benefits those who I leave behind? Do they know that you were thankful for your salvation? And how will I build in this life something that will carry on to my eternal life? Don't you think it all comes back down to salvation and thankfulness? Are you thankful for your salvation? The answer to these questions is not a response to our doing. Noah understood obedience leads us to receive grace, but does not create grace. Grace that piggybacks upon nothing. To live a meaningful life, we must begin accepting what is freely given and offered grace back to God by practicing gratitude. Aren't you thankful that Jesus wanted to go to the cross for you? Are you thankful for the cross? Are you thankful that Jesus was willing to die and shed his blood for you? Then shouldn't you live like it? Shouldn't it express it in the way that you do things, in the way that you talk to people, in the way you treat one another? It should come out in kindness and goodness and love. Does it? If you're not thankful for the salvation that you have, then you're not thankful at all. I'm thankful that Jesus loved me enough to die for me. Are you? And if you don't know Jesus, this is your opportunity to come and say, you know, Lord, I want to be thankful. I want you to know that I am thankful that you were willing to go to the cross and die for me. Are you thankful? It's time for you to say thank you by being obedient to him, confessing him as Lord, being baptized into Christ, receiving the Holy Spirit. But you know what? In this room, I dare say most of you have done that. Yet you find yourself walking around ungrateful most of the time. I'm guilty. I'll get up on Monday morning, walk in the building here, and I'll say, what was I thinking? I'll look around and I'll find a communion cup laying somewhere or a piece of trash laying in the corner. I'll say, that bunch of ungrateful people. Instead, you know what I should do? I should pick up that communion cup and say, boy, I'm thankful that somebody was here to take it today. Or I'm so thankful they were at church this Sunday to leave that trash. I just wish they'd pick up after themselves. You just got to reframe your thinking. You got to learn to be thankful for the things that you wouldn't normally be thankful for. And it all starts with a thankfulness for the blood of Jesus that washes you clean. Until you're thankful for that, you'll never be thankful for anything else. There's nothing greater than knowing that you were loved enough for him to go to that cross for you. There's nothing more loving than knowing that he took that punishment. He carried that cross because he loved you that much. So who are we to live a life of ungratefulness? Let's show our gratitude. If you need to make a decision for Jesus, you can do that today. Or if you just want to stand where you are and declare your gratefulness as you sing out, whatever it is, let's worship him and tell him thank you as we stand and sing.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. You are a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the dark. darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
All right. Now, thank you all for coming out and worshiping with us. Wasn't it nice to have the kids up here hanging out with us today? So, all right, if you are a lady, that means not me. If you are a lady, and you stay right over here in front of the piano and meet with Teresa, they're going to talk about they're going to Dahlonega for some Christmas lights and the Fox Theater to see Mamma Mia, and I don't get to go. I'm kind of mad about it. Don't forget, next week we have 9:30. We have one service at 9:30. Now, if at the 8:30 service can be here at 8:30 every week, you can be here at 9:30 for one service. So, 9:30, one service, and then we're all going to go to Red Top and stuff our bellies. Okay? All right. With gratitude. Yes, we'll be very thankful as we're falling asleep going home. Yeah, you can tell he was a preacher, didn't you? Now, don't forget we got RLCC Christmas. We're getting ready to turn this into a toy store. I don't know if y'all remember or not, we got at least 70 kids this year that we're going to give Christmas gifts to. And you know what that takes? Money. It does take money. We need to get about at least $3,500 to make that happen. So if you're going to give some extra on top of your regular giving, you can give to RLCC Christmas, then we'll give it, make sure we get these kids. And you know, Leslie will probably be looking for some volunteers and stuff too as she comes along. But if you haven't been here for that, it's quite an experience. We do. We literally take this and it becomes a toy store for these parents that would not have Christmas otherwise. And they get to go downstairs. We feed them a hot meal. It's like they went shopping for the day. And it's really a good thing. So, I don't have any other announcements other than, let's go out there and be the church. It won't do us any good. Come here on Sunday and sing Kumbaya. And go out there and live like we're not thankful. We got to go out there and be the church. Tell everybody you're thankful for Jesus. It will make a difference in their life. All right, I'll be up here for a few minutes afterwards if you need me. Philip, will you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift that you gave us on that cross. Thank you so much for giving us a path to deliver us from sin. Thank you so much for everything that you give us. I think almost on a daily basis, if I woke up tomorrow without the things, with only the things that I thanked you for today, what would I truly have? Lord, thank you for everything that you give us. Be with us this week as we go out. Be with us as we live your word and forgive us when we stumble. It's in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.